Well, APTI is the largest union in the federal government. We represent just over 600,000 federal and District of Columbia employees. The largest share of our membership is in the Department of Defense, but we also have large concentrations in Social Security, the Veterans Affairs, HUD, Department of Energy, and Bureau of Prisons.
And they're located all across the country, isn't that right?
All across the country, yes.
Okay, so anywhere there's a federal office, there are probably some APTI employees there.
That's right.
So we're talking about the Homeland Security Bill today, and this is a vast reorganization of certain agencies of the federal government to create one new agency that's supposedly responsible for the broad notion of what's called Homeland Security these days. The plan seems to have been thrown together fairly quickly, but is there anything that you can tell us sort of that we should know about this whole idea of the Homeland Security Department?
Well, I think you just gave a very good description of the legislation. In fact, there's really very little substance to the legislation. The most substantive thing, which was certainly clear to us the minute we looked at it, was this issue of civil service protections and collective bargaining rights. The rest of it is really just rearranging the furniture.
Okay. So can you maybe talk, because people might not understand what that means, what are civil service rights?
Well, there are basically nine principles that are called the merit system principles, which are elaborations on one basic idea, and that is that getting hired, getting fired, getting promoted, getting paid, getting assigned in any job in the federal government has to be based on what you know, not who you know. And it's a set of protections that make sure that employment in the federal government is not a matter of political patronage. People are hired only if they're qualified on the basis of their abilities, their knowledge, skill, experience, fitness for performance in the job, and not which political party they belong to.
Okay.
Or who they know.
Is there reason to believe that the politicians would use these jobs as political gifts to their friends?
Well, it's been a little over 100 years since the federal government had these kinds of civil service protections. But certainly on the state and local and federal level, historically speaking, whenever there's an absence of these kinds of protections, we've witnessed cronyism, favoritism, and political patronage in public employment.
Okay, so it is something that people would probably do. I guess that one thing I'd like to ask you, since you deal with these agencies, Department of Defense, Social Security, the VA, HUD, and so on,
mm-hmm.
Based upon what you see, will this plan change anything? Will it actually work?
I doubt it. I don't think that there's anything substantively different about the actual work that will be done by all the people that will make up this agency. There doesn't seem to be a lot more in the way of resources being put into any of the programs that this agency will administer, so I guess the answer is going to be no.
Okay, so it's maybe being done for show right about now. But right now we do have to deal with it. It's something that Congress is considering, and there looks like they're really going forward with this. And right now we have two different versions of the bill. We have one that came out of the Republican-controlled House and one that came out of the Democratic-controlled Senate. The one that came out of the House has this idea that federal employees should be exempted from civil service laws, whereas the one in the Senate keeps people in the civil service system. Now, you've described why that's important, but I'd like to play for you a piece of what President Bush said about this bill, and as he was defending the House version of the bill last week, and I'd like you to respond to it. So are you ready for this?
Sure.
All right.
Now look, I fully understand the concerns of some of the unions here in Washington. Somehow they believe that this is an attempt by the administration to undermine the basic rights of workers. I reject that as strongly as I can state it. I have great respect for the federal employees.
Well, I think he got more of a fight than he was expecting. But I think that people who like to console themselves with the idea that George W. Bush is an idiot and we have nothing to fear from him can listen to that tape and know that he's anything but an idiot. He says all the right things, but of course he's lying. The piece of legislation that was passed in the House last week did in fact take away collective bargaining rights for federal employees in that new agency and did gut the very heart of the civil service protections that I described earlier. There's a one-year period during which all of those rights would be maintained, the transition period, and 12 months after enactment, it's kind of like Cinderella. It all goes away, and the head of the agency gets to write new rules without any kind of protection of law to fall back on.
Okay, let me play for you one other segment here.
So the notion of flexibility will in no way undermine the basic rights of federal workers. Workers will retain whistleblower protection, collective bargaining rights, and protection against unlawful discrimination. But the new secretary must have the freedom to get the right people in the right job at the right time and to hold them accountable.
The only true aspect of what he just said was that in the legislation, the federal employees retain those rights for exactly 1 year before they lose them. The laws that protect federal employees from discrimination are not civil service laws, those are civil rights laws. It's true that whistleblower protection is retained, but our experience has been that the whistleblower protections in federal law, as important and valuable as they are, and it's administered by the Office of Special Counsel, are not adequate to provide real protection to federal employees from the fear of reprisal or a demotion or some kind of revenge from their superiors if they do blow the whistle on mismanagement or fraud or anything like that. It's really only a collective bargaining agreement that can provide any kind of genuine protection.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. For people who aren't maybe familiar with how collective bargaining works and how it's different from the legal system, you say that even though whistleblower protections and protections against discrimination exist as federal law, people need to have collective bargaining agreements, the ones that they currently have, to really protect those rights. What's the difference between protecting those rights through a collective bargaining agreement versus protecting them through federal law?
Well, I'll give you a good example. And this is something maybe we'll talk about. President Bush and some of his spokespeople have tried to characterize the need for taking away union rights and civil service protections by suggesting these hypothetical examples of a drunk Border Patrol agent allowing terrorists across the border and having a situation where the manager would be incapable of removing such a Border Patrol agent from his duty for more than 30 days. And they've talked about that kind of scenario over and over again.
And they say that, you know, this is an example of how collective bargaining protects incompetent or bad employees.
Right. That the unions have tied our hands, and because of the restrictions of a union contract, we wouldn't be able to even say one word to this drunk Border Patrol agent. Now, of course, aside from being a horrible insult to the people who lay their lives on the line every day to protect our borders, the fact of it is not true. In the federal government, there is a law that, certainly in a national security situation, any time when public safety or national security or a national emergency is in existence, management can completely ignore the provisions of the collective bargaining agreement and remove somebody immediately under any circumstances. But we have had situations like this where you're not in a situation of national security. And because of a collective bargaining agreement, a manager wouldn't necessarily be able to remove or immediately fire somebody suspected of being drunk on the job. they could be immediately removed from their post, but the collective bargaining agreement in this case would allow for a 30-day period during which there were an investigation to find out whether, in fact, A, the employee were drunk, and B, whether a terrorist actually did come in on this person's watch, and C, if the person was drunk on the job, they'd be given an opportunity to get counseling, treatment for an alcohol problem, and maybe not return to a job that involved that level of responsibility, the responsibility of being an actual Border Patrol agent. But they might, if they had a good record prior to that one incident, be given an opportunity to seek other employment within the federal government.
All right, so the contract, the union contract approach seems to be innocent until proven guilty, and then also taking care of people, their needs to have employment.
That's right.
Whereas the president's and the Republicans' perspective seems to be guilty as soon as you're accused, and then, you know, get out of our hair.
No due process to whether to find out and to find out whether or not the charged individual was guilty or not. Just you know, as they say in the private sector, employment at will.
Okay, the Republicans are putting up a major fight on this. Now you're there in Washington. How has it been fighting to prevent the president from doing this?
Well, it's been an interesting ride so far. In the House of Representatives, the Committee of Jurisdiction, the House Government Reform Committee, the committee that actually knows something about the civil service and federal employees, voted to keep collective bargaining rights and civil service protections in the law.
So a Republican-controlled committee in the House voted to keep it in there?
And it was, the fight was led by moderate Republicans.
Hmm, okay.
And several Republicans in the committee voted to retain those rights. But an ad hoc select committee had been formed to take up the bill, and they were, of course, free to ignore what the standing committees, the committees of jurisdiction, had voted. And in this area, they did completely ignore what the Republican-controlled subcommittees had voted for.
So even sort of sensible Republicans in the House wanted to leave it that way, but the president put his power through the House and said, we're going to have a different committee that's going to vote the way that I want them to vote.
Right. The night before the vote, three different groups of 16 apiece were invited to the White House and lobbied heavily by George Bush. Otherwise, it's possible we could have prevailed because there were several moderate Republicans in the House who were certainly leaning our way, and moderate Democrats, I should add. Certainly several Democrats obviously voted for the legislation. In the Senate, we have a slightly different situation. However, as of yesterday, one Democratic senator from Georgia, Zell Miller, has introduced the president's legislation. He's a co-sponsor, so we know that we've lost already at least one Democratic vote in the Senate. So it will be very difficult to prevail, even though the bill coming out of Senator Lieberman's committee has very, very strong language protecting our rights.
Okay, so we have another crossover Democrat who is taking the Republican position. This mm-hmm. is Zell Miller from Georgia. And because of that, because the Senate is so closely divided, it looks like the president's going to win this, and 170,000 government employees will have their union broken.
Well, the fight's not over yet. I'm not going to be voting till the senators come back from their August recess just after Labor Day, and we intend to work very, very hard in that time and win over a few moderate Republicans.
Okay, and what do you need people here in, say, Illinois to be doing to draw some attention to this?
Well, we urge you, please, to contact your members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, because the bill still has to go to a conference committee. And so it's not, all hope is not lost yet, and please urge them to retain collective bargaining rights for federal employees and the civil service protections that are in the Lieberman legislation, and ask them to please oppose any hostile amendments in the Senate.
Okay, and just as a final point here, you all have been under a lot of pressure and been taking lots of attacks since this Republican president came into office. Last year, we saw the big battle to nationalize the airport security and have the airport security workers become federal employees. There was a big battle there. And now he's created a second class of employees that don't get the same benefits that the rest of federal employees get. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and these are the airport security workers. So what's the feeling there at the American Federation of Government Employees? Are people, what's the atmosphere like at your union?
Well, we're actually having a conference in Chicago, in Illinois, at the end of August. It's our 70th anniversary, and it's going to be a big planning session on how we're going to strengthen our union and continue to grow. We're one of the five AFL-CIO affiliates that have grown in each of the last 7 years. Despite the downsizing, despite all the privatization, and despite George W. Bush, our union continues to grow. And we hope to continue organizing and mobilizing our members and turning this whole thing around. You know, we thrive in adversity like a lot of unions and progressive organizations. I'm not saying that we don't have our work cut out for us, but we're certainly not demoralized. We're very energized, and we're all looking forward to this meeting in Illinois this August.
All right, Jackie Simon, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.